Thank you, Jim. I remember that day myself. First of all, Curtis, the title is The Last Adam, A-D-A-M. And I have two questions for you. Does anybody know who the last Adam is? You ever heard of that? I had that question asked of me a couple years ago by my brother-in-law, Nathan Denham. And it sounded familiar to me, but boy, I couldn't remember what it was. And he just smiled at me, like, yeah. So, do you know who the last Adam is? We'll find out. The other question I have for you is one that I asked yesterday on Facebook. Bending oneself down in kindness to the inferior level of an order of another, to the inferior level of another in order to help them. What is this called? Okay, I'll say it again. Bending oneself down in kindness to the inferior level of another in order to help them. What is this called? I had all kinds of responses on Facebook. I told them that I would answer the question today. Turn to page 142 in the Book of Mormon. And I'm going to start at verse 37. And now, my brethren, I have spoken plain that ye cannot err. And as the Lord God liveth that brought Israel up out of the land of Egypt and gave unto Moses power that he should heal the nations after that they had been bitten by the poisonous serpents, if they would cast their eyes unto the serpent which he did raise up before them, and also gave him power that he should smite the rock and the water should come forth. Yea, behold, I say unto you that as these things are true, and as the Lord God liveth, there is none other name given under heaven, save it be this Jesus Christ, of which I have spoken, whereby man can be saved. Wherefore, for this cause hath the Lord God promised unto me that these things which I write shall be kept and preserved and handed down unto my seed from generation to generation, that the promise may be fulfilled unto Joseph, that his seed should never perish as long as the earth should stand. Wherefore these things shall go from generation to generation as long as the earth shall stand, and they shall go according to the will and pleasure of God. And the nations which shall possess them shall be judged of them according to the words which are written. That would be us. We will be judged according to the words that are written in these books. For we labor diligently to write, to persuade our children and also our brethren to believe in Christ and to be reconciled to God. And here's your answer to the second question. For we know that it is by grace that we are saved, after all that we can do. Grace, or the act of graciousness, is what Christ performed for us. He sacrificed himself. A superior being came down to our level and sacrificed himself out of kindness in order to help us. And we call it grace, the grace of Christ. He did this for us, that we might be able to attain that level that he has, that we might be able to live in heaven for eternity. Now, no one is going to be as high as God. There is no one ever that will be as high as God, but we will be there in his kingdom if we do what is said in these scriptures. Turn to the book of Ephesus, second chapter. Starting at the first verse. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And in that first verse, it says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He brought you to life from the death of sin. He quickened you. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. He brought us out of that through baptism and laying on of hands and the reception of the Holy Ghost. The actions that he did, the examples that he gave us as to what it was he wanted us to do in order to follow him. Repent of our sins. Give up all of these desires of the flesh and follow him. He brought us to a spiritual life. He quickened us. For God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, that grace, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So it's by his grace that we are saved, but we still have to complete the works of the flesh, just like he did. Turn to Romans, the fifth chapter. I'm going to read verse 12. And then I'm going to skip down to verse 18. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We all know who that person was. It's everybody's great, great, great umpteenth grandfather. His name is Adam. He was the first one. The first man to commit sin. 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The law says that if you sin, you must be punished. That's the law. But through the grace of Christ, we can be forgiven and receive eternal life. Not death, but eternal life. As long as we have faith in him, and we believe in him, and we keep his commandments, then we will receive his grace. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. There was an announcement in the news this week about Google. Did you know that everything you have ever Googled has been recorded? Every single thing you looked up under Google has been recorded by Google. They know it. And it's there with your name on it. Okay? That's kind of like God and sin. Every sin that you have ever committed has got your name on it. He knows it. It doesn't matter if you did it where none of us could see. It doesn't matter if you did it in a complete empty room. He knows it. You could say he's the ultimate Google. He knows everything that you have ever done. Every desire that you've ever had to commit sin. He knows it. And if you don't keep the commandments of Christ and do the work of Christ in the flesh, in other words, follow him here on earth and act like a Christian, then all of those sins that you have committed throughout your life are going to be right there with you when you're standing in front of the judgment bar of God. Every single one of them. Okay. If Google knows it, trust me, God knows it. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? You realize that. I know you do. But do you think about it when you leave this building? Do you think about it on Thursday or Tuesday? I know on Wednesday you're probably thinking about it because it's prayer meeting and you're thinking, this is prayer meeting day and I got to remember what I'm doing. Maybe Saturday night you're thinking about it because tomorrow's Sunday. But are you thinking about it during the entire week? This is what we need to do. This is what we need to put into our heads, put into our lives. There was a human, well, he was a human being, but he was superior in every way, shape, and form. It was God in the flesh. He loved us so much that he took upon him flesh and blood and lived here as a human being and suffered all of the temptations of the flesh that you have had. Because he loved you so much that he wanted to give you this chance to live with him for eternity in happiness. And we call it grace. So why would you throw that away for sin? Turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. I'm going to start at the 19th verse. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And skip down to the 34th verse. It says, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. You can't plant a seed in the ground and expect it to bring forth fruit except that the seed dies. You can watch, Bonnie and Jim can tell you, plant a bean seed and it will sprout and you'll see the roots and the stem push the seed up out of the soil. And the seed just kind of opens up and then the plant grows up out of it and the seed part actually just withers and dies. But the plant lives. Okay, so how do you expect us to achieve this life of eternal happiness if we don't die first? Okay, you have to be planted with Christ in order to live anew in this spiritual body, become something new, something else. Something better than you were before. Something that's far superior to the inferior body that you have right now. Something that is more Christ-like. Verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit, Jesus Christ. A living spirit. That's what we will become if we keep his commandments, do the work, and have faith in him. And through his grace, we will become a quickening spirit, just like he has become, which is far better than anything you can imagine here. No more aches, no more pains. You're going to be able to do anything you feel like doing as far as laughing and singing and running and shouting for joy and just hearing the birds when you wake up in the morning. sing. I mean, you could talk to anybody who can't hear well, and they will tell you that just to be able to hear a bird sing again clearly would be a delight, as well as the laugh of their grandchildren. The superior self that you will become, all of these things will be more immense and more powerful than you can imagine if you keep Christ's commandments here for this little bit of time that you have. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Okay? Spiritual was not first. Natural or earthly man, that was what we were first. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We will. It's a promise. You will become a spiritual being. Grace. Kindness. Acting in kindness and lowering yourself down to the level of an inferior being in order to help them. Turn to the 10th chapter of Moroni. This is on page 777. It's the last page of the Book of Mormon. Starting at the 26th verse. And God shall shew unto you that which I have written is true. What we have in these scriptures is true. It will happen to all of us. And God shall shew unto you, and again I would exhort you that you would come unto Christ and lay hold upon every good gift and touch not the evil gift nor the unclean thing. And awake and arise from the dust, O daughter of Zion. Yea, and put on thy beautiful garments, O daughter of Zion, and strengthen thy stakes and enlarge thy borders forever, that thou mayest no more be confounded, that the covenants of the eternal God which he hath made unto thee, O house of Israel, may be fulfilled. Do this, all of us, together. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace you may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of Christ ye are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ and deny not his power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God, through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father, unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot. As I said a couple weeks ago, your soul has value. The souls of your children have value. The souls of your neighbors and your friends and your relatives have value. The souls of all those people over in the Middle East who are experiencing terror that we can't even begin to imagine here in the United States. They don't know if when they wake up, if their loved ones are going to come home from the market or be blown to smithereens. Those people over there, they don't know the value of their souls like we do. And they need our prayers. They need our examples. They need to see the light of Christ shine forth from us in all that we do and how we react to their situations. Not just about our own little piece of the family here in Independence, but to the entire world. All of these people on this planet have value. Enough value that Christ did what he did for them also, not just us. And they need our help. They need our prayers. They need to know that we care about them. And the only way that I can think of to do that is through our actions on an everyday basis, how we treat one another, and our prayers. If you have Facebook, let the world know that you're praying for them. If you have Facebook, let the world know that Christ died for them, that their soul has value. If you don't have Facebook, then tell your friends, your neighbors, the people that you work for, that their souls have value. That Christ did this thing that we call grace for them because of the value of their souls. Turn again to the second book of Nephi. Verse 45, page 143, 2 Nephi chapter 11, again verse 45. And notwithstanding we believe in Christ, we keep the law of Moses and look forward with steadfastness unto Christ until the law shall be fulfilled, for this end was the law given. The law was given so that it could be fulfilled in Christ. Wherefore the law hath become dead unto us, and we are made alive in Christ because of our faith. Yet we keep the law because of the commandments, and we talk of Christ. We rejoice in Christ. We preach of Christ. We prophesy of Christ. And we write according to our prophecies, that our children may know to what source they may look for a remission of their sins. And not just our children, but everybody. We do this for everybody. Wherefore we speak concerning the law, that our children may know the deadness of the law, and they, by knowing the deadness of the law, may look forward unto that life which is in Christ, and know for what end the law was given. And after that the law is fulfilled in Christ, that they need not harden their hearts against him when the law had ought to be done away. And now behold, my people, ye are a stiff-necked people. Wherefore I have spoken plain unto you, that ye cannot misunderstand. And the words which I have spoken shall stand as a testimony against you, for they are sufficient to teach any man the right way. For the right way is to believe in Christ, and deny him not. For by denying him ye also deny the prophets and the law. And now behold, I say unto you that the right way is to believe in Christ and deny him not, and Christ is the Holy One of Israel. Wherefore, ye must bow down before him and worship him with all your might, mind, and strength, and your whole soul. And if ye do this, ye shall in no wise be cast out. And inasmuch as it shall be expedient, ye must keep the performances and ordinance of God until the law shall be fulfilled, which was given unto Moses. And after that Christ shall have risen from the dead, he shall shew himself unto you, my children, and my beloved brethren. and the words which he shall speak unto you shall be the law which he shall do. Thank you.